Genesis, the 18th chapter. Genesis chapter 18, the first 8 verses. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, 3 men stood by him. He saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself to the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter, and milk, and the calf, which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Let us pray. O Lord our God, as every word of Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof and correction, for instruction in righteousness, even so hast thou given thy word, that we may profit from it. We ask thee by thy Spirit to lead us into thy truth tonight, and to teach us out of thy law the things that we need in our lives. May thy word search and examine our hearts, disclosing all defects in our faith and character and practice, that we may be brought to repentance and to a reformation according to thy holy and divine will. And so may we not be hearers of the word only, but doers, and not deceiving our own selves. Grant thine assistance, we pray, to him who preaches, that thy word may go forth in thy strength, for without thee we can do nothing. And let thy blessing, O Lord, rest upon thy people, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Chapter 18 of Genesis begins the record which culminates in the overthrow of the ancient cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. The narrative in the text this evening really begins the description of this part of the history recorded for us in the book of Genesis. And we have here, in the beginning of chapter 18, the description of 3 men which dropped in on God's servant Abraham long ago. As Abraham sat, we are told, in the tent door in the heat of the day. An unexpected visit from 3 strangers. And really, I think, when we look at these 8 verses, we see one of the most remarkable instances of hospitality, of true hospitality, of charity, of perfect manners, courtesy, in all the pages of the Bible. Abraham is noted as an example of faith, and so he is, a man of great faith who believed in God against hope. And we all know that Abraham is the father of the faithful, that he is an example of great faith. But in these verses, we see him as an example of hospitality. How many of us know tonight that it's not only the express commandments of the Bible that are binding upon us, but the examples of godly men and women in the Scripture? The practice of the apostles is normative, that is to say, it is binding upon the churches. As they did, so must we do in our practice individually and as a church. And what we read here, the simple description of what Abraham said and did in this passage, is binding upon us. It is an example that is God's commandment to us concerning our dealings with one another. So I call this message tonight, Abraham, an example of hospitality. The record says that he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes, verse 2, and lo, three men stood by him. Three men stood by him. Now it is important to know, and the verses that follow establish that these three men are angels. These three men are angels, but they have the appearance of men. Now, angels, the Bible says, are ministering spirits. Angels do not have a body the way you and I do. They are not physical beings. But angels carry and bear the presence and the glory of God, and they do appear often in the form of men, in human form. Calvin says here, and it's interesting, that these three men, that these angels, were clothed with human bodies. And I think that's a good description because they had every appearance of being true men. And they must have had a dignified appearance. And nevertheless, they were men. Now it becomes apparent as we go on in the narrative and as the exchanges increase that Abraham becomes aware that he is in the presence of Almighty God. This is really what we would call a theophany, an appearance of God to Abraham. But he doesn't yet perceive it in the beginning. He sees three men. And he affords to them hospitality that is really remarkable. And I think that there are four ways in which the hospitality and the graciousness of Abraham is shown to these three visitors. And the first example is shown in the way he greets the visitors. And perhaps the first thing that strikes us is his respect. The Bible says that when he saw them, he ran to meet them. As soon as he saw them coming toward him, he ran to meet them from the tent door, And he bowed himself to the ground. Now some may think, well, this was because he knew they were angels, and so he bowed in worship to them. But that is to miss the sense. He does not yet recognize that these men are angels, that they have a human appearance. He receives them as men, as unexpected guests, and he treats them with great reverence and respect. We know that he didn't recognize them as angels because the New Testament tells us that in referring to this verse. We read in Hebrews 13, verse 2, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." You see? Here's an encouragement to hospitality and especially to strangers, because we see some have entertained angels unawares. And the reference is to this chapter in Genesis. So he was not aware that there were angels, but yet he bowed himself to the ground in a show of respect and deference to his guests. How respectful are we in the way we greet one another today? Sometimes children don't want to say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am to strangers, but it's a way of showing respect. We're not asking people to bow down as Abraham did. But we should show respect for one another in all of our greetings. How do you answer the telephone? Hello? Yeah? Or do you say something cheerful? Do you make the person on the other end feel happy that he's called and honored and respected? You see that? Parents, how do you teach your children to answer the telephone? You can tell a lot about a home just by the way the children answer the phone. He ran to meet them, and he bowed himself to the ground. It used to be that men would tip their hats. It's been customary, and even in our own society, for people to bow somewhat lightly. All of these things are ways of showing respect. And do you know what's happening in our society today? We're becoming very, very crude in our manners. As Christianity and its effects decline in our society. But it's not only the respect of his greeting, but the manner of his speech in greeting these three visitors. See how free and affectionate is the greeting of Abraham. He says to them, "My Lord," in other words, "Sir, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant." He said, this is just a greeting. This is a way of showing respect, of deference. And sometimes we read these things and we may say, well, that's kind of interesting that Abraham did that in his culture, but doesn't have anything to do with me. I'm just reading a record here. No, God is giving you a commandment here. He's saying, this is how you should speak to other people and to greet them. With freeness and open-heartedness, with deference, making them feel at home. And then he goes on to say, "Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Be welcome here. I know you must be weary. Let me get you something to drink. My home is your place." Do you know what Abraham said was no less comforting than what he did for them? And we can see that in the verses that follow. He hurries into the tent and he tells Sarah to get some measures of fine meal and to make some cakes for them. And then he calls one of his servants and he says, get a calf that's real tender and good. Get one of the best ones and dress it. And let's fix it quickly and prepare something to eat. So generous and free is Abraham in what he did for these guests. But no less comforting to them is the way he spoke to them. If I have found favor in your sight, do me a favor, he says, and make yourselves at home here. See, he doesn't want them to feel burdened at all, and we'll say more about that in a moment. Pass not away, I pray thee. I know you might go on your way, but do me the honor of visiting with me. And let a little water be brought out to wash your feet and to refresh yourselves. You see, they were out in the desert, no doubt, and it was hot, and their feet were hot and dusty. Let me make you feel comfortable. It's my honor, it's my pleasure to do that. See how he speaks to them. I think one of the great evils we have in our society today is the image that Hollywood gives us of being cool. You know, we don't say very much. You know, we're just kind of walk around without saying a whole lot to people. Abraham's not very cool here in dealing with these guests, is he? He just puts himself out. He lavishes respect and warmth and generosity. You see, this is God recording. You see, this is the word of God given for our admonition, that we might be instructed in ways of courtesy and in dealing with one another. And there's a great lesson here. And it is important as we make our way through life, older people and young people, that we speak. It is just as important to speak comfortable words to people as it is to do comfortable things for them. What was the effect of Abraham's word? If you had been one of the three men, how would you have felt to be on the other end of Abraham's words? You'd say, oh, I feel right at home here. You'd feel easy, wouldn't you? You would feel, well, here's a place where we should really stop. I feel right at home here. I don't feel that I'm imposing at all. So comfortless are the exchanges between people today that when one extends himself to be gracious, he often feels that he is being forward. So the tendency is to draw back because of the coolness with which people are treated. So we should take notice of the words, the comfortable words that Abraham speaks in greeting these strangers. Words are important. Words are important. In fact, the Bible says, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. What are your words like in speaking to other people and greeting people from day to day? Or perhaps it's easy to be nice to the people you have to work with and get along with. So often there's a selfish intent there, because if you're nice to them, they're going to be nice to you. But generally in meeting strangers, what do your words say about your attitude to them? I have heard it said by some that there are non-Christians that put Christians to shame in their manners, in the refinement of their manners in dealing with one another. That is a scandal in the church, if ever that's true. And some may say, well, I wasn't brought up to say a whole lot. Well, you should learn to say a whole lot so that you won't pass that on to your children. Those of us who have had good examples in our parents, who have been gracious and thoughtful in their words to other people, should be so thankful for those examples. but all should cultivate to be gracious in our speech and gracious in our greetings to one another. And so we see the hospitality of Abraham shown in the greeting, the way he greets, in respect and the freeness and warmth of his greeting to these apparent strangers. But second, as an example, he makes light of the acts of kindness that he is about to perform. Now notice that this is very subtle. He makes light of what he's going to do. He doesn't say, sit down here, I'm going to fix you the best meal you ever had. I'm going to break out the fatted calf. He says, sit down here and I'm going to fetch a morsel of bread. I'm going to fetch a little piece of bread for you and comfort your hearts. And after that, you'll pass on. In other words, you don't have to stay here. I'm just going to refresh you a little bit, and after that, you can be about your business. I don't want you to feel obligated. I'm just going to give you a little morsel of bread. Then he goes in the tent where they can't hear, and he tells Sarah to get everything together. Let's make some bread. And he calls the servant. He says, let's find a real tender young calf, and we'll fix them the best beef they've ever tasted if we can. But he makes light of what he's doing. Now, why does he do that? There's a reason. He does it that they may the more easily submit to his hospitality without thinking that they're imposing on him. He makes them feel like he's just going to do a little bit. He's not going to be put out at all. He's not going to go to any trouble. You see? And here is something at the very heart of charity. Here is something at the heart of what we call good manners. Good manners is not something in Emily Post. Good manners is the golden rule. It is the law of God. It is deep in the heart of Abraham, and it is required of you and me. And here's a principle that is at the heart of it. Why it is important to speak comfortable words to other people. Courtesy, you see, anticipates the thoughts of someone else. You have the ability to understand how someone is going to think about what you're saying. You anticipate what they're going to thought, what they're going to think, and you say the thing that's going to make them comfortable in their thinking. That's why he says he minimizes, he makes light of the acts of kindness that he's going to do, anticipating their thought and wanting them to feel, making it very easy for them to submit to his kindness. He anticipates their thought and he's going to make them feel very comfortable in submitting to his hospitality. Do you do that? Let me ask you, how much do you think in speaking to other people about their thoughts and the effects that your words are going to have on their thoughts? Not their words, but their thinking, their attitude. How do other people feel when they leave your company? Have you ever thought about that? How do they think and feel in their hearts after they leave your company? Do they feel, I really feel better. I was down here and I feel much better now for just having spoken to that person. Or do they feel worse? Do they feel kind of lonely? Do they feel somewhat sickened in heart? See, you never see these things outwardly, but they go on inside of people. Do we anticipate the thought of people? Do we seek to make them feel comfortable and free in their thoughts and the thoughts of their hearts? This principle is at the heart of all manners. Some of you children, I hope you have parents that teach you good manners at the table. And children tend to think, well, this is just a routine. This is purely arbitrary. No, it isn't. Because the way you eat and sit at the table, the way you move your eyes, the way you do everything affects how other people think and how comfortable they are at the table. Did you know that? God's servant Abraham is a master of refinement and courtesy and good manners in this passage. And God holds it out to us as an example here. So he makes light of the acts of kindness. And do you know how else he does that? He refers it all to providence, their visit. Did you notice that in the text? He says, in verse 5, I'm going to fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts, and after that you'll pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. In other words, God has brought you here. Don't feel like you're imposing. I mean, God has brought you. That's the reason that you're here, so that I can delight in doing a little something for you. You haven't imposed on me. God has brought you here. He takes all anxiety, all uneasiness out of their minds by downplaying his own confidence and his own kindness, minimizing it, minimizing his own trouble. How do we talk to one another? Suppose you're right in the middle of something at work and the phone rings or at home and somebody calls. How are you doing? Well, I'm just right in the middle of everything. I've got so much going on here. How does the other person think? What do they think? Oh, wish I hadn't called. Oh, terrible time to call. Ooh, I feel awful. You know why they feel awful? Because you made them feel awful. You see the principle here? Abraham anticipates their thinking and he says the thing that's going to make them feel happy. Oh, I'm glad I called. You're out of breath, you know, and the dishwasher is going and things are coming apart, but you speak so graciously that the other person feels, I'm glad I called. Abraham might have been sweating inside, but his guests never knew it. Assuming they were men, which they were not. They were angels. And then he refers it all to providence, lest they think that they're imposing on him. Therefore, you come. Why, providence has brought you here. It's my pleasure. And you know, we should look. Here's a key to looking upon unusual things that happen. People that we meet in various states of need in our lives, we should see them all as referred by God's providence. That person that calls at an inopportune time, that stranger that pops up with so many other things going on, but that person that's in need, we should refer it all to providence and act accordingly, as God's faithful servant Abraham did. Second, or third rather, Abraham's hospitality is shown here in that he is liberal and open-hearted. We read in verse 6, if you look at that in your Bible, having spoken to them, he hastens inside the tent, he directs Sarah to get things ready, to make some cakes from fine meal. He ran to the herd and fetches a calf. He picks out perhaps the best one, the one that he thinks is going to be prime grade beef, the very best. He picks out that. He doesn't leave that up to the servant. It's kind of interesting. And he takes that calf and he gives it to the servant. He says, now go dress it and set it before them. He's very generous. Isn't that the impression you get? He is going to do his utmost to make his guests comfortable and to be glad that they visited him. Won't you have some more? That's his attitude. The very best. Dr. David Freeman tells that Machen, you know, was a bachelor when he taught at Princeton. In fact, he was a bachelor his whole life, but he had his own apartment on campus, and he would often ask students to come up, and he would cook for them. And they would sit at the table, and he'd say, "Don't be tight, boys. Don't be tight. Be generous. Take all, you know, I know you're hungry. Don't take a little helping. Take a good, generous helping." Yeah. You know what that is? That's God's law. That is living God's law. To be generous and open-hearted and free in our dealings with others. We see that in this example of Abraham. God loveth a cheerful giver. And that's what we see in Abraham. The fourth thing we notice here is that Abraham exhibits a well-ordered household. Now here is something unexpected in the middle of the day. Having greeted his guests, he goes into the tent. He tells Sarah to make ready the meal. He picks out the calf. He gives it to the servant, and everything moves like clockwork. And then he took the butter and the milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. We get the impression here that everything is just going very, very smoothly. And Calvin is very insightful here because he says the reason it all went smoothly was because Abraham had his household under obedience. Now I know that's that old word authoritarianism. To some people, that's an ugly thing. But the reason it went so smoothly was because Abraham had all in his household in subjection to him. And there was no problem. Otherwise, the visit would have caused a great stir. Oh, how do you expect me to do that in the middle of the day? Why, you expect everything to be changed around? I don't have this, I don't have that. This is rest hour, the servant might have said. But we don't get any of that. It would have caused a big stir in most households, but everything goes smoothly because everything in Abraham's household, all the members were in subjection to Father Abraham. So he serves his guests, he took butter and milk and the calf, and he sets it before them, and they did eat. Of course, this is an amazing thing in itself. These angels were eating. To all of Abraham's perception, they were men. But here was a manifestation of Almighty God. There's a lot that we could say in regard to the theophany, and we'll talk more about that as we get into this passage. But tonight, let us look at Abraham as an example for us of hospitality. Beloved, we ought to cultivate a caring heart toward others, especially strangers. We ought to cultivate a caring attitude toward other people, and especially strangers. Now, some of you may be sort of, your personalities may be somewhat withdrawn. You know, there are personalities that just gravitate toward people. They have to be around people. They're miserable if you put them off by themselves somewhere. They've got to be always interacting with people. Some of you don't have that kind of personality. Some of you, like, are more reserved and retiring. And you need to work harder at this, to have a gracious character toward other people, and especially strangers. And I want to ask you tonight, how free and easy and comfortable do other people feel when they are around you? Do you know you have an obligation to make them feel comfortable in their thoughts? to make them feel free and easy and comfortable. And beloved, we need to resist the depersonalization that is taking place in our society today. Manners and refinement are being lost all around us today. And Christians need to resist that bad manners that are taking over our society today. Beware that you are not so hurried in your day-to-day activities that you don't take time to be courteous and respectful to others. Abraham was sitting when the guests arrived. He wasn't frantically running all over the place. Some of us are so busy, too busy, that we don't have time to really take notice of others and think about them and to make them feel comfortable. So that's one great lesson, that we should cultivate a spirit of hospitality and a gracious attitude toward others, to seek to do good to all men wherever we are, and especially to strangers. Young people, I think, have a tendency to neglect older people. To a certain extent, that's understandable. We've all been teenagers and younger before, but how refreshing it is every now and then to see a young person who is very attentive to the needs of older men and women, and who is gracious in his or her demeanor toward them. We can all learn from Abraham. And the second lesson that I think we should learn from this passage tonight is to be gracious in our speech and in our conduct toward one another, not only to seek opportunities of doing good to others and especially strangers, but to seek to be gracious in our manners toward other people. And this means anticipating what others are thinking in all of our interactions with other people and governing ourselves accordingly to make others feel comfortable around us. How much are we really concerned about one another? How much do we really care for one another? That's what it really says. How much do we care for one another? How much thought do we take for the thoughts of other people as they come in contact with us at church and in other areas, day by day? How do you greet others? How do you greet people on the phone? Children, how do you answer the phone? Hello, Mrs. Jones. How are you today? How have you been? Is that asking too much that children would know how to answer the phone that way? How do we greet people? What kind of manners are we practicing? And how do you respond when greeted? Some people are so cool in their response to greetings that the person who greets them after a while will back off in time after the third or fourth time because maybe you are so cool in the way you respond to someone else greeting you. You see what this is all about? It's all about, as ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. And how about your manners in listening to the preaching of God's word? Do you look distracted in the preaching? If you look distracted, or if you look at your watch, how do you think that makes a preacher feel? As a human being. As a man of God, yes, but as a human being, what happens? Do you think how your gestures and actions, what it will cause the other person to think? What happens when you look at your watch during the sermon? What does the preacher think? He thinks you're bored. He thinks you're want to hurry up and get through the sermon. What about when you yawn? If someone is talking to you or preaching and you yawn right in front of them, what does it say? What does the other person think? Thinks you're bored? This must be a boring sermon to some. Well, I better hurry up and get through this conversation. They're not, I better do something. This person's not very motivated to hear what I have to say. Could be a conversation with someone. You see what God's Word is saying to us tonight? It's saying that we need to be about thinking about other people and how our words and actions and attitudes affect what's going on in their feelings and in their thoughts. And the idea is to make them feel comfortable and easy. You know, this world is a pretty rough place. This world is full of darkness and evil and cruelty. And we Christians should be experts in the business of showing the love and kindness of our God and in making others feel comfortable around us. Do you know that you can make a difference in the preaching just by the way you look? You know, I'm not singling anyone out here, but, you know, if you sit there with a deadpan look on your face, it is not motivating to the preacher. How many of you have taught a group of people and there's one student that just seems fixed on what you're saying? And the face seems to say, I am really interested in what you have to say. Why, that encourages the speaker to speak. Now, I'm not suggesting that you all say amen, you know, that's right, brother, just go on, you know, but what do our faces say when we're talking to other people? What do our manners say? What do our gestures say? How do people feel when they leave our company? Do they feel better? Someone has said, and I believe this is true. If someone is talking to me and they leave my company and they feel bad, it is always my fault. If you're having a conversation with someone and they leave that conversation feeling bad inside, it is your fault. Think about it. Because you have it in your power, if you will, to make that other person feel comfortable and glad that they encountered you and to feel a little bit better for having been with you. I want to ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus to work at this, that other people feel better for having been in your presence. And you know what? If you follow the principles that Abraham did in dealing with these three men, they will feel better. And you will have done good to a soul. And you will be doing something that is pleasing in the sight of God to our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. O blessed God, thy word so wonderfully instructs us in marvelous ways. We thank thee for the example, this great example of hospitality and gracious manners in thy servant of old Abraham. Help us to do as he did. O Lord, deliver us from indifference to others, which is our nature, that we care not about others or about their feelings or thoughts. We are ashamed, O Lord, of all those ways in which we make others feel bad by our bad manners, on the telephone or wherever it may be. in our conversations with men. Lord, have mercy upon us. We acknowledge that by nature we are indifferent and have hatred and contempt for one another. Free us, we pray, from this damning sin. And touch our hearts, O Lord, that we may from this day forward seek to do good unto all men, to be always thinking about others and their thoughts, and to make them feel comfortable and easy in their minds, to be gracious and courteous, to be clothed with humility and deference to others, that we may please Thee, who hath called us to love our neighbor as ourselves, and to in honor prefer one another. Forgive us for all the ways in which we have sinned against Thee, and sanctify us by Thy word of truth this evening, that we may do Thy will, that we may be as light shining in a dark place, that we may be emblems of Thy love and care in all of our dealings, and especially with strangers, but particularly also in our own families and in the household of faith. We pray, our God, that Thou wilt encourage every parent to teach their children good manners, refined manners, knowing that this too is a part of our religion and our duty as Christians. And grant, O Lord, that our children may not see manners as a pointless burden that is put upon them, but may they understand from Thy word tonight and always how very important it is. And may they not follow the examples of other young people who are ill-mannered, but may they follow the great examples of Thy word. For Thou hast said, be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. And grant that in this day where there are so many crude manners everywhere, that we may excel as Thy people, that we may be examples of kindness and generosity and concern for one another. Deliver us from selfishness and all of its manifestations. And all these things we ask in the name and through the merit of Thy Holy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.